Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company. Unconventional ideas that change the world. Whatever business means to you, listen to top podcasts like How I Built This and Business Wars early and ad-free only on Wondery Plus. Wondery means business.
Something that I took for granted that I didn't know not everyone does, because my mother just always did this. I don't know if this is a like, oh, you grow up without money thing, or if everyone always have a grocery list. It's crazy to me when people just go to the grocery store. Who? What? You just, David, you do that?
Sarah gets so upset at me when I just ramble on and wander and just wait to see it. I'm kinetic, so if I see it, then I'm like, yeah, I need that. She goes in always with the list and is very angry with me. Not frustrated.
Angry
with me.
Fanatics. Ooh. Everyone's got their thing. Fanatics.
Welcome everyone to the Fanatics Podcast. I am one of your hosts, David Magadoff, and with me is my much better, exciting co-host, Miss Claire Kramer. Hi, Claire.
Hi, David. I really related to what our guest was. Well, I mean, I guess you can introduce our guest, your friend, your good friend.
Yes, I will list some things about her. She has been on Fatherhood on Netflix with Kevin Hart. She's the star. She is the she of She's Gotta Have It.
She's
the she. That's a big deal when you're the she.
Coming in hot when you're the she. When you're numero uno on that call sheet.
This is Miss DaWanda Wise. Yes, we are so excited to have DaWanda on today to talk about things that involve lists. We'll get to that in a second. But let's just talk about DaWanda for a second. Mm-hmm. I had the pleasure of meeting DaWanda because I acted alongside her husband, Alano Miller, doing Dexter over this last year. And we got to hang out, and DaWanda had shot the new Jurassic Park movie with Chris Pratt and Jeff Goldblum and Laura Dern for like 5 months in London. And then she got to come hang with all of us in the middle of nowhere, Massachusetts for another 6 months. So now she's going to go and film her new show, Three Women, on Showtime with Shailene Woodley and all these wonderful people. So she gets to go back to New York. And so in between that time, we got to have this wonderful recording with her. She's funny. She's smart. She's cool. She's all the things that you see on TV and film, she's that in real life. This woman just is an effortlessly wonderful actress with a lot of opinions about supermarkets.
It's supermarket day on Fanatics. And yes, that is what we were referring to when we said list. So it's about making the list and going to the supermarket. If this isn't a tutorial for success in a supermarket, I don't know what is, David.
I don't know either. And I'm someone who doesn't do lists, you're going to find out. And she is someone who does do lists. And you'll find out a whole lot more as well. Keep listening. Enjoy. DaWanda, how cold do you get in the frozen section?
That is a quality question, and I have a personal story. I went to the supermarket yesterday, and I was wearing, you know, what you would wear to work out, but I know enough to know to always bring a jacket. So I do not enter the supermarket without being super prepared to be cold, because I run cold in general.
My wife will always have a jacket handy. She just can't handle it.
It's a universal rule. Like, I feel like you should just, that's just good, you know, like personal policy if you run cold to just have a jacket.
Yeah, layer up. I mean, it's true. Those freezer sections are sometimes are like so cold. You're like, what are you trying to freeze in here? Like, it's frozen at a certain temperature. It doesn't need to be sub-zero, you know? So let's just go back for a second. DaWanda, if you had to define on your own terms what a supermarket is, how would you explain that to someone? What is a supermarket?
A supermarket, that's hilarious. That's a really good question.
Or a supermarket to you.
A supermarket to me is a magical wonderland of possibility, of culinary possibility. That is my definition of a supermarket. Like when I think of what is possible, it makes me think of a theme park in the sense that you can go and do as much as possible, or you can go and do as little as possible. Like you can go and be like, I really just want this very particular brand of pickles, or you can shop for your home that you just moved into. Like the possibilities are vast. So that's what I think of. It's a magical wonderland of culinary possibility.
I have never thought of a supermarket as a creative space before, but all of a sudden I'm like, you're an artist, obviously, and a brilliant one. And now I see your vision of supermarket as an artist. You know, it's all about the artistic like combinations and connections between the food and the spices and the produce and the fruits and the veggies. I love it. Where do you start when you walk into the supermarket? Or does it depend on which one you go to?
It depends which one you go to, because if you're as ridiculous as I am, you believe in multiple supermarket trips. You know, that's huge, especially in LA, where you can go like, oh, this is my natural food place. You know, like I need to get some nutritional yeast. Like there's like specialty supermarkets where you go to get that one like xanthan gum. You know what I mean? Like where you're like, I need that one single item that I'm getting from the specialty place. Or you go like, oh, I need, you know, the best, most ridiculous, highest quality chocolate I can find, you know, outside of a chocolatier. I got to go to Erewhon and spend a whole lot of money. Anybody outside of LA? A whole lot of money. And you don't sign up for the membership, which is a bad idea.
I did a second mortgage just to go to Erewhon last week.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it worth it?
It's not.
Did I do the right thing?
I mean, it's almost involuntary. You can't help yourself. But it depends. It depends what you're into. It depends what, you know, if you're like me, what season of your life. If you're in a moment where you're like, I'm only doing fresh produce and, you know, I'm going to live like the Europeans do, so I'm only going to shop the perimeter of the store. Or if you're in one of those seasons where you're like, I don't have time for anything, so I'm going to prepare foods and I'm going to get a lot of cans of beans and a lot of cans of soups because I do not have time to even decide what I need to eat right now.
Is there ever a bad trip to the supermarket or a quick trip? Or do you somehow find yourself there always a little longer than you think you should be?
Yesterday was a bad trip because I messed up. I messed up.
What happened?
I wanted to make some vegan pasta. So I wanted vegan vodka sauce and a very particular vegan Parmesan shaker cheese, right? Those are the two things. But then also, is the supermarket also messed up? Because then I wanted normal things like frozen kale and frozen peppers. And I went to the wrong supermarket. They didn't have either. They didn't have any of those things. So, you know, you go, you feel the feeling of defeat and disappointment. You do a deduction with yourself where you're like, should I request these things? Like, do I need to go to customer service and say, like, why don't you have the frozen stuff? Like, am I that degree of weirdo right now? Or am I just going to go home and send my husband to Whole Foods? And that's what actually happened. So that's a bad trip to the supermarket when they have nothing you want. Like, nothing.
Okay, this is actually a good opener for my next question is, so there are obviously, we've already mentioned three or four, Erewhon, Trader Joe's, Whole Foods,
Ralph's,
dare I say,
Ralph's.
Where I'm coupon clipping my way
yes.
through life and the aisles. But what defines, you know, nowadays you can get food at Target. You can shop at Target. You can shop at Walmart. What defines supermarket? Are they a supermarket if they sell clothes?
I love that.
That seems like a life philosophy, first of all, Claire. So I just really, that question sounded like it had so much depth, and we're gonna unpack that.
We need to unpack it.
Yeah, it's like questions of identity. I feel like it's a ratio thing.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be, I feel like if it started as a supermarket, if its primary focus is food, I feel like the aisle ratio from supermarket to like, you know, those kind of big stores, like a Super Walmart or even like 99 Cent Only, because 99 Cent Only, pro tip, has a good vegan section, which is really weird. But it's about ratio. Like a good supermarket has like 3 aisles maximum of non-grocery items, you know, like cat food, dog food, cleaning supply, and then like
light bulb.
Yeah. And like some deodorants. You know what I mean?
So Costco, I mean, that's the big one. Is Costco a supermarket?
No.
Then?
Costco is not a supermarket.
I don't think somewhere you can buy a lawnmower or like, you know, the level of, you can buy a diamond ring at Costco's.
You can buy a vacation.
You can buy a vacation. You can buy memberships to Disney. I guess that one you can sort of buy at Ralph's. Maybe something you can do Legoland at Ralph's.
Yeah.
But to me, Costco is just like, it's actually like going to Disney. It's a whole experience. It's like its own.
It's intentional. You know, I've stood on a long Costco line and seen people with like one item, but I've also been on a long Costco line and been the person with one item. So it's absolutely a field trip.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
So we live, DeWanda, you and I live very close to each other in Pasadena. And our Whole Foods is the largest Whole Foods, I believe, west of the Mississippi. It is a 2-floor Whole Foods
this
for those
true.
Who do not live in Pasadena. Do you enjoy the 2-floor supermarket, or are you like, ugh, I like supermarkets, but this is a lot.
You know what? That's a good, what I can't remember, you just made me think of something else. What I can't remember is what happened, I guess elevators, like what did they do before they figured out the little cart thing next to the escalator that you can put your like cart in to make it go? That is one of my favorite things ever. Like ever, like in life, watching the cart go up next to me.
And it goes up slightly faster so that you can beat, that it beats you by just a little bit.
It's just so satisfying. I'm really into 2-level grocery stores, especially when they're well organized. You know what I mean? Like when they're really thought out and like, well, when we were in nowhere, Massachusetts together, they had that Wegmans and the top level was like, you know, all the cheese, all the meat stuff and all the produce. And then the bottom was all, for the most part, like dry goods, a whole lot of booze and just the aisles. And I was like, that's just so well organized.
East Coast, big on the booze over there on the East Coast.
Huge on the booze.
That's first floor. Nutritional things, you know, upstairs.
Upstairs.
You got to work for that.
Yeah.
People are mainlining booze there. take me back to your early childhood. What is a memory you have going to a supermarket with your family, and how has that experience influenced your love for the, you know, shopping trips today?
So I grew up, you know, 80s/90s, and this was when, you know, parenting meant that the child had to fit in the lives of the parent and not the other way around. So I was always at work with my parents, and my dad worked at he worked at Giant Food. I'm from Maryland. He worked at Giant Food for 33 years. It was the first job of many that he retired from, but he worked there for 33 years, stocking overnight. And I just remember, one, thinking at the time that that was just like, you know, the most brilliant and wonderful thing, because just the thought of being in a grocery store, you know, when it was empty was just like, that's magical. You know what I mean? And there were some mornings, some like very, very early mornings, like before school, where like maybe we would go and pick him up and it would just be him and his, like, you know, coworkers there by themselves. So my earliest memories, a lot of them are just like with my dad at Giant Food. At the time, I love fried chicken. I'm a Black girl who loves fried chicken. I don't feel shame about that. But if you are in Maryland or you're anywhere where there is like a Giant Food, they have some of the best fried chicken in any supermarket ever known to creation. So when my dad would like bring home food, like prepared food, especially from the grocery store, it always felt like a mini Thanksgiving. Like it always felt like a miniature, you know, like just this special event. So yeah, I think I just, you know, in the same way that I grew up, you know, with my mom at a printing company, I grew up with my dad at a grocery store.
I love this answer. The idea of you as a little girl being in a supermarket by yourself. It's like having Disneyland to yourself. And I get that. I get that it's all yours and you're this little girl and you're looking up at all this stuff and there's nobody there. And it's the feeling of, this is mine. Normally, I always have to share this with everybody. So that's so sweet.
But it's also perfect in the morning. Like if anyone's ever gone to a grocery store when it's freshly stocked and all the stuff is perfectly faced, you know, and I don't know if they do this at a lot of grocery stores now, but then they had like those displays, like those tower displays that they took a lot of time to design. And you know, the end caps were like art. Like they're still like that at Trader Joe's, but like every grocery store now, you know what I mean? Or back then, just they had that. So it was this kind of like, it was sparkly. You might as well have like put glitter on it, you know?
Plus that's when the donuts are the freshest.
Yes.
Early morning.
Yes.
The donuts, the everything is like fresh. The coffee smells good. It has like that daytime odor hasn't come in yet. You know, like they have it open. Well, they have it open like the butcher cases. The fish isn't out. Like everything's cleaned out from all the cases, and everything that is there is like, hello, good morning. I'm fresh for you.
For you.
What are your favorite places in the market? Like if I just said, all right, you're getting Whole Foods or Wegmans by yourself or not by yourself. What are the top three places that make you happiest? Not the ones that you know you need to for your diet that you have. The ones that you're like, okay, I don't have to worry about any calories. I love looking and poking and smelling and sniffing and tasting and bringing it home.
That's easy. One, it reminds me of Costco back when we could still do samples. Like my grandmother would go to Costco just to get the samples, which makes me laugh. I know she misses that a lot. But always, I love, especially when you go to a new grocery store, seeing what they have in the bakery section. You know, seeing like at this point, because I can't do dairy, but like seeing if they have good like vegan things, or, you know, trying to figure out what local companies maybe they brought in that they don't really sell anywhere else. So the bakery for sure. If it's a Whole Foods, my husband and I do this weird thing where when we're traveling, which is we try to see what the menu at McDonald's is, like what the regional difference is and what the, like, you know, sort of global differences, you know, like spam when you go to McDonald's in Hawaii, that kind of thing. So we do the same thing with Whole Foods to see like, oh, what kind of restaurant do they have? You know what I mean? Like they have different restaurants now. Like sometimes they'll be like a wing spot or like a pizza place, you know, in Brooklyn where we're going, they have like a vegan burger joint, which I cannot wait to eat when I return. So definitely the restaurants, that's a Whole Foods specific thing. And then probably you can tell a lot about a grocery store from the seafood section. You know, how vast it is, how it smells or doesn't smell. You know, if they have like more, if they're like the kind of grocery store that has oysters, you know? It's like, oh, we have oysters here.
We're taking a chance. You can trust us.
I mean,
it's... Yeah, or the sashimi, like the fresh cut sashimi that's in the beef case, not like in the pre-made sushi section. I'm always like,
tricky.
I don't know.
Tricky.
I don't know. It's very tricky. Okay, so let's say hypothetically, you learned, I think we've uncovered the love of the grocery store in part from your father and your childhood and going there with him. So let's hypothetically say you have a kid or your niece or nephew, you know, suddenly becomes someone that you would like to teach about grocery shopping and how to discern which items come from where and how to really pass on that love. What would the steps be for you?
First step is something that I took for granted that I didn't know not everyone does because my mother just always did this. I don't know if this is a like, oh, you grow up without money thing or if everyone always have a grocery list. It's crazy to me when people just go to the grocery store. Who? What? You just, David, you do that?
Sarah gets so upset at me when I just ramble on and wander and just wait to see it. I'm kinetic, so if I see it, then I'm like, yeah, I need that. She goes in always with the list and is very angry with me. Not frustrated.
Angry
with me.
Angry. Yeah, I'm a caller.
But don't you ever let the grocery speak to you sometimes, Dawanda?
No. It's a horrible idea. You can only look, that jacket only works so long. You know what I mean? Like, there is a point of no return where you're just like, okay, I'm cold. We've been in this grocery store too long. Mm-hmm. So I would sit my niece down and I would say, Aaliyah, let's write this grocery list. And I am the kind of neurotic that knows grocery stores well enough that I section it off by like, okay, this is where the vegetables and this should kind of be in this aisle. So I'm that kind of neurotic. So I would go so far as to do that. I would then probably go to, I'm going step by step, y'all. I'm going step by step.
I want it step by step. I'm taking notes.
Love a step by step. So I'd probably teach her where we park at the grocery store, which is always a question of time of day. But, you know, if you want to get your steps in, you park further. And if you trying to get in and out, you park near the exit. And then, you know, to your point, David, you have to leave room for magic. So if you see something, absolutely, I'm not saying you can't get anything on the list. That would be ridiculous. But these are the things we need to make our meals this week. So, you know, and like any good or decent auntie/hypothetical mom in the future, I'd be like, I need you to focus and not try to buy any toys or anything random. That cat toy is a cat toy. It is not for humans because she is 6 years old right now. So that's where I would start, I think. Did that answer your question?
Absolutely. How many stores would you recommend going to? I know myself, I've gone to quite a few in a day. If I'm, you know, because I'm the same way. I'm like, this comes from here. This comes from here. This comes from here, and I don't violate that. So what about you?
When I'm being very traditional, grocery shopping day is definitely Sunday. Like, you definitely, like, you know what I mean? It's like, I'm in the 1950s, you go grocery shopping on Sunday, and it just depends what area you live in. Because I do, I think we'll hit 2, sometimes 3, you know? Like, Trader Joe's for a good long while was like a staple. You know, we had to go to Trader Joe's. They have the best, like, pour some water in it and you have a something magically appears. Like, Trader Joe's just, they're just like, pour some hot water on it and like you have a four course.
Plus you feel like everything's healthy there, even though it's not.
Even though it's not.
You're like, I'm eating so healthy. It's all Trader Joe's.
Yeah, and you're like, that's cornbread. It's still cornbread.
They've done a good job of branding everything in a way where your mind is like, I'm healthy.
Yeah.
Cornbread.
They have.
It's true. Oh, it's true.
It's very true. So yeah, usually, you know, I'm very into like some specialty things, especially that's why they like, they got that on lock. They really figured that out to be like, you know, Trader or whatever we're calling it, you know, come get this pizza, this one pizza you really like. But I also, you know, I'm sure David knows this. I also work there. So there's always a special place in my heart for Trader Joe's because they treat their employees well. I mean, mostly. Now it's, there were conversations, but mostly.
I actually do want to have a Trader Joe's moment with you soon, because to say that you've worked there and seen behind the pearly gates or the Hawaiian gates is a beautiful thing. But I got a quick rapid fire for you.
Tiki torches. Okay.
Behind the tiki torches, behind the flame. Thank you, Claire. Okay. I'm going to say some things to you and I would love to know where I should buy them. Okay. Where is the most ideal place that you would go to buy these things? You ready?
Yes.
Produce.
Wegmans.
Fruit.
Oh, fruit. Erewhon.
FYI, everybody, Erewhon, we mentioned it a bunch. I'm realizing it's very niche for where us in Los Angeles. I don't know if there's Erewhon outside of LA.
Outside of LA, go to your local farmer's market. Farmer's market. Farmer's market.
And Erewhon misleadingly is spelled with an E. I'd just like to point out, if anyone is Googling it outside of Los Angeles.
Yeah. You'll never get whatever I'm saying. You'll never find in Google. It's spelled wrong. Deli meats.
Ooh, deli meats. That's a good one. Hold on, let me think about that one.
Well, she's vegan.
Yeah, but still, we buy it for someone. Alano. We buy it for him. Deli meats
for Aaliyah, for her niece.
Deli meats. Man, I'll tell you what. Growing up, even though my dad worked at Giant, Safeway. It's also very East Coast. So,
great.
Safeway.
Pre-made stuff. So, you know, stuff that's ready to go. Bring it home.
Pre-made Whole Foods.
They're good. I agree. Ice cream.
Ooh. Ice cream. Wegmans had a huge ice cream section. But normally, see, I'm breaking the thing. I usually buy my ice cream from, like, an ice cream place. So I usually buy it from like Salt and Straw because they have to have, if I don't buy it from there, it has to be like one of those natural or vegan markets because they have more vegan ice creams.
Bakery and bread.
Bakery and bread. Also anywhere that has like a more niche or like specialty grocery store. Do you remember the name Idlewild? When we were in Massachusetts, there was this place called Idlewild, a very small but specialty grocery store, and they had like very cool items, but you really can't beat a bakery, you know, outside of like a place like that.
It's, yeah, when it's like our wheat in the back,
yes,
is the wheat that you're eating.
Yeah.
Is what made the flour. How about, speaking of flowers, what's a good market to buy some flowers?
Trader Joe's.
Which leads us in.
Mm-hmm.
Give us the wonder of Trader Joe's. What are some things that we should know about that maybe we don't? What are some things that you still, when you walk into Trader Joe's, you're just like, I love that aisle. I love that section. I love that there's little hidden things. So we actually have a whole podcast about Trader Joe's.
That Someone's does not surprise me.
Yeah. Yeah. But I want to hear it from you. She didn't work there.
I did. I worked there fresh out of college, overnight, again, because I'm super romantic about jobs that I can work places by myself, basically. But I worked there overnight. And I think what's really remarkable about it, and while I'm obsessed with it specifically, is one, obviously, you can get items there that do not exist elsewhere, you know? But also, I think their brilliance is that it feels so creative and experimental. Like, they're always putting together things that, ingredients that you wouldn't expect, always, sometimes. And there's, like, there's this level of risk involved, right? They're like, it might work out, it might not, you know? And I don't know if you guys, if, like, you know, listeners knew that or if you covered it on the last one, but you can sample, you can bring home anything at Trader Joe's, and if you don't like it, you can bring it back.
That's amazing.
Yeah, you can literally sample it at home, you know?
Wow.
So that was always really cool to me, and I just love that it changes season to season. Like, season to season, year to year, like, you always know when the fall hits, it's going to be, like, so much pumpkin. Like, pumpkin, 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 pumpkin. And you also know, because of that, if you're really in love with something and it only comes out one season a year,
you gotta stock up.
You gotta stock up. You gotta prepare.
Okay, DeWanda, speaking of stocking up, when I go to the grocery, oftentimes it's a massive trip. Like, I'm talking fill a cart and get a second cart and then I'm like double carting it out at the end, put one up by the customer service area that's full of my groceries, finish up with the second cart, check out, go home. Well, first of all, let's talk about checkout. Do you do self-checkout? Do you do teller checkout? What are your feelings? How does this influence your trip?
I do have very strong feelings. I mean, honestly, in general, especially even before, you know, pandemic times, I was like, go to the people. Like, I've always been very go to the people. Because there's nothing worse than, for example, going to self-checkout and then something not working. Or, like, you know, it, like, flagging. And then you're, like, looking around, you know, for the person to come help you. And, you know, they come and you're like, oh, I'm sorry, because you're supposed to be doing it yourself. But
and then they're like, you can't buy wine here. And then
exactly.
You're like, sorry.
Can't buy wine here. Or that's not how you put in the cucumber code or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, it takes a certain level of skill. So it depends, like, what I'm buying. It depends, you know, if I'm, like, making a quick trip and the lines are just ridiculous, then, yeah, I'll go to self-checkout. But for the most part, I'm like, oh, look, a person.
A friendly person to scan. Okay, second part of my question. When you get home, and I am pulling back the curtain on my life here a little bit, I like to lay out my groceries, take a picture, text it to my mom and sister, and let them know how much everything cost and what good deals and I got. Do you have any post-store rituals at your home?
Oh, that's so funny.
I'm going to share one of those pictures on the Fanatics Twitter, by the way.
Oh, my goodness.
It's crazy, some of my deals.
That's really genius. The only time I will document a grocery store run is if it's like something, a special event I'm cooking for. So if there's like something, you know, I'm cooking for family or just any kind of like special event, then I'll take a photo. But our grocery store ritual, because I married an organizer, there are certain things, just like the technology we referred to before the start of this podcast recording, there are certain things that I just do not do in our home. And putting away groceries is one of them, because my husband has a system, okay? That freezer is Tetris. It's Tetris in there. It's Tetris. If I need something from the freezer, I have to ask for it, okay? It's Tetris. It's packed. He got to get all his little... He takes stuff out of the packages. He'll take stuff out of the packages to fit into the freezer.
Well, once you eat half of the waffles, the other half have to come out because it's no longer a rectangular box. It's a square unit. So I get it.
Yeah. But no, he'll do that as soon as we get home. So we just have a freezer full of... sometimes, so I'm not kidding you, that's happening right now. There are packs of stuff in there. Like, there's a pack of this mysterious pack of, like, little patties. They look like little sausage patties. But I don't know what they are. Like, it could be sausage. It could be, like, a fake crab cake. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
It's like dinner roulette for you when you clean out that freezer.
I'm going to talk to Alana.
Please. Please do.
I'm going to talk to him. I know nothing will change.
No,
I will talk to him.
It will not. It's not going to change.
So at least you know I made the effort.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Bodegas? Listen, I've walked into a New York City bodega sometimes and have gotten things and oat milks and surprising sausages that I would not get at a Ralph's or a Kroger's, although I'm loving the expanded variety at your Albertsons, your Ralph's, your Kroger's, your Pavilions, your Vons. Are bodegas considered a supermarket, maybe?
They are considered bodegas for a reason. And bodegas have a very, there's like a distinction, you know, because I feel like, especially in New York, where it's like the nucleus of bodega culture, I would say, the nuclei. You know, it's a very specific set of rules for what constitutes a bodega. Like, there were a bunch of places that kind of like popped up that had a more expansive, you know, hot cold bar, you know, like the fancier like lunch places you can go to in Midtown. Those are not bodegas. That's not a bodega. So yeah, it's very interesting. It's been like wild, to your point, to watch them evolve over the years and like, you know, just kind of change the items they sell and like evolve what they sell. But you know, you can go to a bodega for like a ripe banana, you know? Like, if you just want to go and be like sometimes you'll be surprised and be like, oh my goodness, they have peanut butter with no salt in it, with no like sugar in it. That's a surprise. What a pleasant
and
surprise.
Your shampoo and the shampoo that you love,
and
that weird organic shampoo, they have it.
yeah. So like, bodegas are kind of like that. Like, you know what you're signing up for, but you allow yourself the space and the wonderful feeling and opportunity to be pleasantly surprised, you know.
Speaking of pleasantly surprised, this has been a pleasant surprise. All right, as we're landing this supermarket plane, by the quick question, have you ever watched Supermarket Sweep? Do you enjoy it as much as I do, or have you never seen the show?
I have never seen the show.
Okay, I've watched the old and the new version, both of which are equally satisfying. So I'm equal opportunity, old and new Supermarket Sweep. I encourage you to put an episode on tonight. Let's go with the newer series first.
Okay, I'm going to do it. You know, I will say, not quite a little more big box, but one of my favorite sitcoms ever was Superstore. Long live Superstore. Thank you.
Oh my gosh. I'm so into Superstore. I love it so much. I mean, I feel like I could be Glenn.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But it was also just in so many ways, obviously, because I was like, worked there and worked in retail. But it was just like, you know, so accurate. And those little like intersections, the customer interface, and I love that show.
Oh my gosh, so good. I totally agree.
What was hard about supermarkets was these inherently, and maybe this is why, part of why you love it, it's part of why I love, and I think part of why most people like them, is we can count on them. We walk in and I'm like, I know, I can count on the breads, the Campbell's. I can count on there's gonna be, there. Life has a lot of uncertainty. You can walk into this place wherever you are, wherever supermarkets are, you can count on them, right? It's a nice grounded feeling it gives you. But you couldn't count on them during COVID a little bit. And I think that was a little unnerving for some people. I know I would walk in sometimes and feel a little
It was very off. Disorienting, like very disorienting to go in and, especially, you know, we're Americans, we're all pretty like spoiled with the things that we're, you know, super accustomed to. And to go in And even that, one of the first things that happened was I was in the UK, like beginning, you know, starting to film something that obviously we had to push. But I'll never forget the feeling, the fear I had of walking into a grocery store and seeing the aisles emptied. Like there was something absolutely, you know, visceral and carnal, and just it hit on every cylinder, to your point, David, of like our innate sense of survival. Yeah, it was really scary.
So that being said, we end every podcast with this, a love letter. Can you please bequeath us with a love letter to supermarkets, and please begin, as a good love letter should, with dear supermarkets, and if you'd be so kind to wrap it up with love, DeWanda.
Dear supermarkets, you've always been there for me. You've never let me down. Through feast or famine, highs and lows, weight fluctuations, life changes, multiple locations, so many transitions. You've been there. And I don't take you for granted. I love your smell. I love your possibilities. I love your employees. I love how now we even have the wherewithal of even increased hygiene that really appeals to my type A sensibilities. And I promise, if I ever have before, I will never, ever, 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 ever take you for granted again. Love, DeWanda.
That was very sweet.
DeWanda, thank you so much. You are an amazing guest, and I have thoroughly enjoyed having you on.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, DeWanda. I said it in our conversation, and I'll say it again. I love her story that her dad would bring her into the empty supermarket, because my dad, for a short time, was, he's an accountant, but he was a CPA for a new, exciting candy company startup. And so I remember him bringing me in a New Jersey mall somewhere to Tidbit Alley was the name. And he would bring me into the candy store by myself before the store opened. And I remember it being very magical. So I get it.
I like that her origin story is like so connected to her father. And now, like, you know, that's why it's so interesting to me how she would, you know, mentor a young supermarket goer, which we discussed.
Her niece.
But more and more we find out on Fanatics that these so-called arbitrary interests or, you know, subjects, they really tie back to a childhood, either sensation or moment or time spent with, you know, a parent or a sibling. And I just love, love, love that.
Do you feel like you're making memories in the supermarket with your kids?
Well, you know, it's interesting. It's easier to go shopping without my children. That is just a simple fact. But
four small arms, legs, and brains wandering everywhere doesn't make it an easy experience.
Well, I mean, it's also like cost me like literally $1,000 if I go with all of them, because they're just throwing stuff in the cart and I'm like, I can't keep up. but, you know, I try to have individual time with each of my kids. And if it can be something like taking one or two of them to the supermarket, then I have to remind myself as a parent, listen, be patient. Don't rush the moment. It's actually like a mother-daughter or mother-son experience as opposed to then a grocery trip. Does that make sense?
Claire, it makes sense. One might say it all checks out.
Does it scan correctly?
It does. It does. No coupons needed. I'll pay full price for that. Guys, thanks so much for listening to this wonderful podcast with this wonderful episode with this most wonderful DeWanda. We cannot wait to have another one with you next week, but we must, because that's how this works. So have a great day, guys.
Have a great one. Thanks for tuning in.
And gang, before we go, let me tell you about next week's episode. We have on Mr. DeShawn Terry. You know him from so many things, but especially as one of my friends on The Morning Show. Yes, on Apple TV Plus right now. Season 2 is going on. Enjoy it. As well as Room 104 and Language Lessons in theaters right now. Deshaun loves Survivor. Yes, the show on CBS that has now 41 seasons. Oh my gosh. Well, we've got one great podcast episode about Survivor next week. Check it out.
Thank you for listening to Fanatics, a Roddenberry podcast. For more episodes and info, head over to wearefanatics.com or tweet your Fanatics thoughts and stories at @WeAreFanatics.
Yes, that's We Are, F-A-N-A-D-D-I-C-T-S. Our show is hosted by Claire Kramer and me, David Magadoff.
Produced by me, Claire Kramer, and Kelsey Goldberg. Executive producers Trevor Roth and Rod Roddenberry.
Our sound engineer and editor is Elizabeth Joy Windham. And you can thank Stephen Mudd for our theme song.
Catch us next Thursday for another Fanatics episode.
Grab your list and your jacket. You gotta have room to pack it.
If you park far away, you're here to stay. Have no fear, go see a cashier.
These are the rules. DeWanda's grocery rules.
Love that double innuendo.